RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Abu Rizal mentioning Tantowi popular in Jakarta and Banten. 90 years for Jamia and you. Now the news in detail. Golkar Party still considering Tantowi's nomination as a candidate for governor of Jakarta. Thus, Tantowi as a member of Commission 1 is also considered Ben Hurti to face the election contestant in Banten. This was stated by Golkar Chairman Abu Rizal Bakri in a statement to Kompas.com on Saturday. He viewed that someone who deserved Ben considered to be candidate for Banten is Tantowi Yahya, because he has stayed so long in the province. However, until now, there has been no further discourse regarding the nomination of Tantowi in Banten. The name of Tantowi appeared previously in the row of candidates for Jakarta governor election 2017 that would be carried out by Golkar. In addition, there are two names as a nomination, the General Secretary Idrus Marhan and Secretary of Golkar faction Aziz Syamsuddin. In a survey carried out by Center for Strategy and International Study, CSIS, Tantowi ran second after Cahaya Basuki Purnama alias Ahod as a figure with popularity. The highest affirmation for Ahod obtained 94% of respondents as the most popular governor candidate. Meanwhile, Tantowi won only 81%. The teachings of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that becomes the guide of the Jama'ah and Jamia NU, Nahdlatul Ulama had been present in Indonesia since about 1,000 years ago. The teachings were brought by Islamic spreaders who were willing to hold dialogue with the local culture and use traditional media in spreading the Islamic teachings. Pesantren is one center that spread Islam is the oldest educational institution in Indonesia. The oldest boarding school which is still active is Sidogiri Boarding School, established in 1718. Toburen Boarding School was founded in 1899 by Kiai Haji Hashim Ashari, and this becomes so appealing for youths in Paris areas. This was framed by educator of Toburen Boarding School in Jomban is Chapa Solahuddin Wahid in Jomban on Sunday. He said a number of students who have studied in this pesantren fostered by Hashim Ashari built a boarding school where they lived after leaving Toburen. The pesantren would become a big boarding school such as Lirboyo, Ploso Kediri, Tegal Rejo Magelang, and Denanyar Jombang. University of Indonesia, UIS, ranked first in Indonesia as the best website college based on Verbometrics ranking of world universities 2016. This achievement also makes University of Indonesia outperform Bandung Institute of Technology, ITB, and Gajah Mada University, UGM, each of which is second and third level. For Southeast Asia and the world, according to Webometrics, University of Indonesia reaches at 30th place among 758. Rector of University of Indonesia, Muhammad Anis, said that the achievement of a college with the best website in Indonesia was not confined to merely University of Indonesia, but also the success of other universities in Indonesia. Rector Anis, in a press release received by Kompas.com Saturday, added that the site Development and improvement of national international scientific publication becomes one of University Indonesia's strategies in providing access to knowledge transfer and the quality of education and teaching is wide. This is oriented for not only academicians of University of Indonesia, Indonesian population, but also global community. People's Consult Assembly Impair Health a coordination meeting in Bali on Saturday not only discussing the state budget but also discussing current issues faced by the MPR. Discussing about the public expectation to restore a position of MPR is constantly earned by the highest authority, and Indonesia needs to have state policy guidelines as a sovereign state nation and the constitutional system. According to Deputy Chairman of MPR, Osman Sabtaodang, this is the year 2016 for the MPR to formulate and restructure the constitutional system in accordance with the basic amendments and also the introduction of state policy guidelines. Further-headed MPR, in addition to focusing on the basic amendment, would also be applying the system of national development for the period of short-term, medium, and long-term. Osman is hoping that the development system that has been made will continue to run despite there is a change of president. The last one, Chairman of House of Representatives DPR Commission 8, Parthonan Daulay Saleh, said that the regulation on cases of violence against children must be revised immediately. He also stated in Mataran on Sunday that punishment for the perpetrators of violence against children is considered less deterrent effect, so there are many acts of sexual crimes against children. He remarked that his side keeps inviting many parties to provide input with regard to the appropriate regulation for the perpetrators of violence against children. In fact, he admitted that there had been a lot of growing discourses in which the perpetrators of sexual crimes against children can be castrated illegally. Tawanan Daulay added that the level of coordination between ISTRA and other related institutions is important because violence against children can occur in various places, not just outside school and many places, but it can also occur in the family environment. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is news from across the country, presenting you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Padang, West Sumatra. Chinese people in the city of Padang, West Sumatra held a night market in Pondok Pecinan Chinatown on Wednesday afternoon, January 27th, as a tradition ahead of the 2567th Chinese New Year, or locally known as Imlek, that falls on February 8, 2016. Head of Night Market Committee, Henry Alizard, said in Padang last Wednesday that night market has become the annual agenda of Chinese Family Association. This year, it is held on January 27th until 31st, 2016. He said that 8 clans in Padang take turns to organize the event. This year, Lee Kui family become the coordinator. At Imlek Night Market, there are various needs for Imlek, but they do not take profit. The visitors can also find entertainment stage culinary stands that serve Chinese food from 8 clans and 29 promotion stands, including several banks. The next news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Balinese provincial government wants a deeper cooperation with Osaki City government in Japan, and it is not limited to garbage management. When welcoming the Osaki Kagoshima Prefecture Vice Mayor Tojuma Saharu in Denpasar last Tuesday, Balinese Vice Governor Ketutsudi Kartas said that he wants further cooperation covering agriculture and educational fields and even in the fields of tourism as well as infrastructure if possible. Previously, 16 representatives of Bali province learned garbage management in the city of Osaki, Japan in September and October 2015. Besides garbage, Sudikarta also wants the cooperation in Enceng Gondok or water plant handling, which has become a problem in some lakes in Badugul and Batur. Therefore, he hoped that in the future, the cooperation of GIZA is expected to cultivate Enceng Gondok or water plant into compost. In addition, Sudikarta also paved the way for cooperation in the field of education, especially introducing students to the environment and efforts to preserve it. The last news is from Yogyakarta. To reduce the threat of dengue fever, researcher team from Gajah Mada University that joins Eliminate Dengue Project or EDP plans to spread mosquitoes that contain Wolbachia bacteria in the city of Yogyakarta. According to entomologist Warsito Tantowijoyo,
Wolbachia bacteria will cause dengue virus cannot develop, so that the Egyptian mosquito that contains Wolbachia cannot transmit dengue fever. Head of Eliminate Dengue Project EDB team, Andy Utarini, said last Thursday that the spreading of mosquitoes that contain Wolbachia will begin in the middle of 2016. He explained that now EDB team is introduced to people in Yogyakarta and the city administration. This is the early step before spreading the mosquitoes with Wolbachia. There are two methods. First, it can be done with direct release. Secondly, put the mosquitoes' eggs in small buckets in people's houses. In Yogyakarta Special Region, 2,146 dengue fever cases were found in 2015, with 17 dead victims. While in the city of Yogyakarta, there were 890 cases with dead victims, counting to 10. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Steve. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a program presenting you the people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January 31st, 1926, when Nahdlatul Ulama was established. Nahdlatul Ulama, or NU, is a traditionalist Sunni Islam movement in Indonesia, following the Syafi'i School of Jurisprudence. NU was established on January 31st, 1926 in Surabaya as a response to the rise of Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia and Islamic modernism in Indonesia. NU is the largest independent Islamic organization in the world with a membership of 40 million in 2003. NU also as a charitable body, helping to fill in many of the shortcomings of the Indonesian government in the society. For example, it funds the schools, hospitals, and organizes communities into more coherent groups in order to help the alleviating their poverty. In 1945, Sukarno and Hatta declared Indonesian independence. During the Indonesian War of Independence, NU declared that the fight against the Dutch colonial forces was a holy war, obligatory for all the Muslims in the country. Among the guerrilla groups fighting for the independence were Hizbullah and Sabilillah, which were led by NU. Next is from 1968, Vietnam War. Viet Cong attacked the United States Embassy in Saigon, and other attacks in the early morning hours later grouped together as a Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive was one of the largest military campaigns of the Vietnam War, launched on January 30th and 31st, 1968, by the forces of the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese People's Army of Vietnam against the forces of the South Vietnam, United States, and their allies. It was a campaign of surprise attacks against military and civilian commands and control centers throughout the South Vietnam. The name of the offensive comes from the Tet holiday, the Vietnamese New Year, when the first major attacks took place. The communists launched a wave of attack in the late night hour of 30 January or the early January 31st in the 1st and the 2nd Corps tactical zones of South Vietnam. This early attack did not lead to widespread defensive measures. When the main communist operation began in the next morning on January 31st, the offensive was countrywide and well-coordinated. Eventually, more than 8,000 communist troops striking more than 100 towns and cities. The offensive was the largest military operation conducted by the other side up to that point in the war. The last event is from 1968. Nauru gains independence from Australia. Nauru, officially the Republic of Nauru and formerly known as the Pleasant Island, is an island country in the Micronesia in the Central Pacific. Its nearest neighbor is Banaba Island in Kiribati, 300 kilometers to the east. With almost 9,500 residents in a 21 square kilometer area, Nauru is a small state in the South Pacific and the third smallest state by the area in the world, behind only the Vatican City and Monaco. Settled by native peoples from Micronesia and Polynesia, Nauru was annexed and claimed by a colony in the German Empire in the late 19th century. After World War I, Nauru became a League of Nations mandate administered by Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. During the World War II, Nauru was occupied by Japanese troops who were bypassed by the Allied advance across the Pacific. After the war ended, the country entered into the UN trusteeship.
Nauru gets its independence in 1968. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, entitled International Drugs Trafficking Dismantled in Jepara. Drugs network that implicates foreigners and enters Indonesia is getting larger. It is proven in the implication of Pakistani people in smuggling 100 kilograms of methamphetamine in Jepara, Central Java last Wednesday. Head of the National Narcotics Agency or BNN Commissioner General Budi Waseso said on Thursday, January 28th in Jepara, that syndicate from Pakistan has been spied out since 6 months ago. Moreover, the Pakistani network is assumed to have operated since 2013. They operate in Jakarta, Semarang, Central Java to East Java. The agency began the case dismantlement in Jakarta some time ago. From there, the meth smuggling was dismantled in Jepara, Central Java province. The smuggling was committed by putting meth into generator set or genset from Guangzhou, China. The meth in the machine was found in the furniture storage in Pekalongan village, Batialit district, Jepara Regency, Central Java, Wednesday, January 27th. Every genset contains 1.5 to 2 kilograms of meth packed in plastic and covered with carbon. Until now, the agency has dismantled 94 machines with about 100 kilograms of meth. There are 100 other genset machines that have not been opened. Officers also confiscate a scale and cash worth 700 million rupiahs. According to Budi Waseso, this drug business harms generation of the nation a lot. About 1 kilogram of meth can be used by 5 people. Drugs can come from anywhere with various modes. This time, the mode is hiding it in a machine and it is covered with carbon to avoid the X-ray detection. Meanwhile, Director General of Customs and Excise at the Ministry of Finance, Heru Pambudi, said the genset from China is imported by CVBT in Semarang. Customs and Excise officers checked the suspicious machine with X-ray, but it is not detected. The drug traffickers tried to play a trick by sending 84 units of air filter, along with 194 genset containing the meth. The goods arrived in Tanjung Emas Port, Semarang on December 31, 2015. Then, investigation and analysis of the imported goods were conducted. On January 20, 2016, they were dismantled through X-ray examination. The officers found irregularities in the form of pulling hook used to switch on the genset. From there, it is known that the goods contain drugs. The goods sending was observed until it arrived in furniture storage in Pekalongan village on Tuesday, January 26th, and the officers raided the traffickers on Wednesday, January 27th. All suspects consist of 4 Pakistani citizens, namely Faik, Amran Malik, Muhammad Riaz, and Torik, as well as 4 Indonesian citizens, namely Yulian, Tommy, Kristiadi, and Didi Triyono. They were arrested in Jepara and Semarang. They were threatened to be punished for 4 years at the minimum and sentenced to death at the maximum. The smuggling, according to Budi Waseso, was plotted by Riaz, who has been living in Semarang for several years and has an Indonesian wife. Riaz is assumed to conspire with Didi, who lives in Jepara, to smuggle the drugs. Didi is the owner of CV Jepara Raya International that runs storage in Pekalongan village to keep the meth. According to the plan, the meth will be distributed all over Indonesia by hiding it in furniture products. Based on data in his passport, Pakistani citizen often goes to China and Indonesia. The arrested Indonesian citizens also often visits Vietnam. Listener, that ends Headline of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta.
Listener, nice to be with you. I'm here, Mana Rahmana. Here is weekly program, Week in Review, highlighting some important events happens on the last week of January 2016. We start on Sunday. The surging price of beef in Jakarta that reached 140,000 rupiah per kilogram has prompted Jakarta government conducting market operations. The Jakarta government corrected the price of beef. This was stated by Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama on last Sunday. He also said that one of the causes of the surging price was that city-owned slaughterhouse PD Dharma Jaya did not obtain state capital injection this year. He pointed out that it was very possible to ask Widi Dharmacaya to reduce the price of beef, thus making up for the lack of funds. Governor Basuki said that the Jakarta government was forced to find loans from banks. Previously, the Jakarta government has signed an agreement with East Nusa Tenggara provincial government to provide live cattle for the Widi Dharmacaya. The cooperation was made to maintain the stability of beef supply in Jakarta as well as to help improve the welfare of cattle breeders in East Nusa Tenggara. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama was honored with Gus Dur Award 2016 on last Sunday, with the family of the former president recognizing the governor for his clean and grade-free politics since rising to the office in 2014. Named for the Indonesian former president, Abdurrahman Wahid, who is popularly known as Gus Dur, celebrated the statement's legacy of population, accept pluralism and support of religious and cultural diversity. Gus Dur's daughter Yeni Wahid said that the Governor Basuki was chosen as he reflects the former president's bravery. Speaking at the award ceremony at the Rumah Gria Wahid in Menteng Central Jakarta, she said Governor Basuki deserved the award for his fight against corruption within the Jakarta provincial government. Hani supports to provide Jakartans with high-quality public services and facilities. An executive of Bank Indonesia, BI, said that the combination of four monetary stimulus would put the country's economy on track to recovery. Deputy Governor of Bank Central, Ferry Warigio, said in Jakarta on last Monday that in last quarter of 2015, the country's economy grew 4.9% after a growth of less than 4.975% in the previous three quarters. Ferry added that the growth has been recorded in non-major sectors such as construction, transportation, and electricity sector. The first three stimuli were fiscal policy giving priority to budget allocation to productive sector, structural reform by abolition oil fuel subsidy and relaxation by the central bank not minimum reserve requirement and loan-to-deposit ratio. He said a number of indicators that could determine the direction of monetary policy are improving, such as inflation, which is predicted to be around 4.3% this year. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs held foreign policy lecture with the teen African Russian putting Indonesia into the EU accreditation taking place in Jakarta on last Monday. In his remarks, Acting Director of Assessment and Policy Development Agency Ambassador Salman Al-Farisi stated the African countries have become magnet for other regional countries. The abundant resources and democratic situation that support economic growth have created special attraction to the state to develop cooperation with Africa, including Indonesia. According to him, Indonesia and Africa belong to brotherhood spirit that should be developed into concrete cooperation.
Indonesia and Africa always share the enduring spirit of brotherhood. Let us transform into concrete partnership with a tangible outcome for the benefit of the two peoples. This foreign policy lecture can be the outlet to deliberate how we can bring that concrete partnership into reality.
The foreign policy lecture was attended by various stakeholders, namely ministers, agency, academics, and representatives of foreign embassy in Indonesia. The lecture was also attended by Dr. Gregory Mills of Brentwood's Foundation of South Africa. Gregory Mills presented his views regarding developing cooperation between Indonesia and Africa as well as supports to bring into reality. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce of Surabaya's Java province assessed that the city could determine Indonesian ease of doing business EDB ranking in 2017. Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Surabaya, Jamhadi, said in Jakarta on last Tuesday that a survey conducted by the World Bank has shown that Indonesia is ranked 109th out of 189 countries. Indonesia, Jamhadi said, should rise to a world ranking of 40th in 2017. To achieve this rank, he added, it needs support of all stakeholders. According to Jamhadi, three major cities, namely Jakarta, Bandung, and Surabaya, can add as reference cities that can help Indonesia attain a better EDB rank. The ranking can serve as a guide for policymakers and can help influence investors to do business in the country. Indonesia and Timor-Leste have agreed to accelerate the process of resolving their border problems, marked by the visit of Indonesian President Joko Widodo to the country on last Tuesday. President Joko Widodo's communication team member Ari Dwipayana said in an official on last Tuesday, escorted by Antara, that President Joko Widodo visited the office of Timor-Leste Prime Minister Rui Maria de Araújo after lunch at the presidential palace with the Timor-Leste President Taur Matan Ruak. President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Rui Maria de Araújo held a bilateral meeting between the two countries' governments. In the meeting, Prime Minister Rui Maria de Araújo said that border problems were the focus of the talks. The two heads of state held the ongoing intense consultation about land and maritime borders between the two countries. Deputy Speaker of Indonesian House of the Representatives DPR Agus Hermanto explained that supervisory agency of the State Intelligence Board is in line with the law on terrorism that has been passed by the DPR. In his statement before the press in Jakarta on last Wednesday, Agus Hermanto stated that the law on terrorism regulates the existence of agency to supervise the intelligence agency. The Intelligence Supervisory Board is contained by members of the House Commission 1 from all fractions and led by Chairman of the House Commission 1.
Badan Pengawas Intelijen itu adalah undang-undang intelijen itu sendiri dan juga diatur di dalam peraturan.
The Intelligence Supervisory Board is representation of law of intelligence itself. It is also regulated in the order of house. The law mentions about institution to supervise intelligence, namely the Intelligence Supervisory Board. It is contained by members of existing fractions in the Commission 1 and led by Chairman of House Commission 1. Early on last Tuesday, the Speaker of House of Representatives DPR inaugurated 14 members of Intelligence Supervisory Board led by Chairman House Commission 1, Mahfud Siddiq. It contains with other 13 members of the House Commission 1, namely Tantowi Yahya, Hasnuddin Hanafi Rais, Asril Tanjung, Fernandez Ahmad Muzani, Joko Pujianto Budi, Yoyastri, Saibul Bahri Ahmad Zainuddin, Dimyati Natakusuma Supiyadin, and Arif Suditomo. Deputy Speaker of DPR Agus Hermanto said that the extent of the supervisory board is aimed at strengthening intelligence agency in Indonesia. Chairman of Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Agus Raharjo in a working meeting with House Commission 3 in Jakarta on last Wednesday said that the Law on Corruption Eradication Commission has managed the need to support KPK in its duty. However, according to Agus, KPK might need legislation support on complete law on assessed compensation and law on code of criminal law and the civil law. He also said that this side has to answer written question delivered by the House Commission 3 regarding legislation support towards KPK.
Untuk undang-undang KPK sendiri, kami memohon kalau sekiranya
for the time being, the law on KPK is enough to support us operationally, but we need support on completing law on code of criminal law and civil law, as well as the draft asset confiscation law. Besides answering written question of the House Commission 3, Chairman of KPK Agus Raharjo also stated that KPK is preparing strategy plan for 2015-2019 session by mainly increasing synergy cooperation among ministries and agencies to eradicate corruption, such as by preparing e-coordination apps. The app should help consolidating parties and stakeholders to coordinate. During the working meeting, KPK also delivered its result and reports to follow-up findings of the audit board during 2015 period. Indonesian warship Kri Iman Bonjol 838 has been deployed to increase Indonesian Naval Patrol presence in the Strait of Malacca. The commanding officer of Kri Iman Bonjol, Major Ali Setiandi, said in a crewed Guku public airboat in Aceh on last Tuesday that the increased patrol will increase security across the Strait of Malacca, which is one of the world's busiest shipping lanes, with vessels from all over the world crossing through the narrow strait. According to Major, Indonesian Navy will conduct a routine patrols which could hopefully prevent threats to Indonesian national security from entering Indonesian borders. Minister of National Development Planning Agency Sofian Jalil refused to comment on an agreement related to the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed train project. Speaking at the President's Palace in Jakarta on last Tuesday, Minister Sofian said that the project used a business-to-business theme and was handled by relevant ministries. The Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs, the Transportation Minister and the State-owned Enterprise Minister had direct authorities on the project. PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China, KCIC, the consortium handling the project requested a guarantee from the government in case of development or operation failure. The state guarantee was reportedly set as one of the clauses in the draft agreement, which is currently discussed by the Transportation Ministry and PT KCIC. Public policy observer Agus Pambagio viewed that the government would not be able to provide a guarantee as stated by presidential regulation on the acceleration infrastructure for Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway project. Agus added that the regulation did not mention state capital participation for the project. Ambassador to Russia and Belarus, Jahuri Oramangund, has invited Belarus citizens to visit Indonesia and enjoy the natural beauty of Indonesia and the hospitality of Indonesian people. The invitation was delivered by Ambassador Jahuri during a meeting with Foreign Minister of Republic Belarus, Vladimir Makey, in his office in Minsk. This was reported by Indonesian Embassy in Moscow, received by Antara News Agency in London on Saturday. In the 30-minute meeting, the two officials discussed the issue of cooperation between Indonesia and Belarus. Ambassador Jahuri said that the two countries had forged diplomatic ties. There are 21 documents of bilateral agreements had been signed and became the cornerstone of legal cooperation between Indonesia and Belarus. One of the important achievements in the bilateral cooperation, Ambassador Jahuri added, is a short stay visa exemption for Belarus citizens who may visit Indonesia for tourism. The last item, Chairman of Regional Representative Council DPD Irman Guzman said that the site is ready to supervise the construction of the high-speed train project of Jakarta-Bandung, which reaches 142.3 kilometers. So this project is on the right target and later it can overcome the traffic congestion. He said at the presentation of the DPD in Jakarta on last Friday that the government plans to build a fast train, but this still faces pros and cons by the public. He also pointed out that the plan to develop the fast train doesn't matter in principle as long as it doesn't include the state budget. According to Irman Guzman, if the financing is covered by a consortium of business to business, the project should be submitted to the Ministry of State-owned Enterprises. At the plenary session, some members of the DPD questioned the high-speed train of Jakarta-Bandung and responded to the explanation of the government represented by Minister of State-owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno. Listener, that was a Week in Review over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Golkar Party is considering Tantowi's nomination as a candidate for governor of Jakarta. Does Tantowi as a member of Commission 1 is also considered when worthy to face the election contestant in Banten. The teaching of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that becomes the guide of the Jama'ah Jamiah and Nahdlatul Ulama had been present in Indonesia since about 1,000 years ago. University of Indonesia is ranked first in Indonesia as the best website college based on Webometrics ranking of World Universities 2016. This achievement also makes University of Indonesia outperformed Bandung Institute of Technology ITB and Gajah Mada University UGM, each of which is in the second and third level. People's Consular Assembly MPR held a coordination meeting in Bali on Saturday, not only discussing the state budget but also discussing current issues faced by the MPR. Chairman of the House of Representatives DPRI Commission 8, Partonan Daula Saleh, said that the regulation on cases of violence against children must be revised immediately. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miss Lenny.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
The This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a segment which introduces Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I'll take you to Sumbawa in West Nusa Tenggara province to have a look at Mata Jitu waterfall. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Mata Jitu waterfall is located in the province of West Nusa Tenggara. On Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara, there is an island renowned for its beauty called Pulau Moyo or Moyo Island, which is located in the north of island of West Nusa Tenggara. The island has so many natural spots. White sand and blue sea water makes you would like to linger on there. Even famous people such as singer Mick Jagger and the late Princess Diana, and also Manchester United player who visited Moyo Island in the past. Hidden behind forests in the Moyo Island, there is a waterfall which attracts many tourists to come. This beautiful waterfall is called Mata Jitu. Mata Jitu waterfall consists of 3 steps, 7 meter high water with green pond. Locals call it Mata Jitu, which is more or less means bull's eye, or right on the target, because the water falls right on the pond below. Characteristics of the waterfall itself is unique and very different from the most waterfall. At Mata Jitu, you can also see rocks that have formed thousands of years ago. Stalactites and stalagmites adorn the walls of the waterfall, in addition to the beautiful scenery there. The various forms are the main attraction of Mata Jitu waterfall. The beautiful scenery with natural green trees makes Mata Jitu waterfall the main attraction in Moyo Island. It has become part of Indonesia Nature Reserve and it's said to have been formed millions of years ago. The pond under the waterfall surrounded with green trees as if inviting you to plunge and play in the water. Because of its beauty, Mata Jitu waterfall is known as the Queen Waterfall, but there are also people who call it Lady Di Waterfall due to the fact that it was visited by the late Lady Diana Spencer, though she came after she became Princess of Wales. Visitors, however, are not allowed to take a shower directly under Mata Jitu waterfall. There is a special area set aside for this. As mentioned earlier, Mata Jitu waterfall is divided into 3 parts, the bottom, middle, and top. The top and the middle parts of waterfall area are designated for local government's guests only, while the bottom is open to the public. In addition to hygiene reasons, it is also for fear that cliffs and rocks in the surrounding areas will lose their authenticity. It is that adherence to maintain cleanliness in the waterfall that makes the water remains clear and clean. Meanwhile, accommodation in Moyo Island itself pretty complete so that visitors do not have to worry about that. To get to Moyo Island, you can depart from Mataram Lombok Island first, then crossing to Sumbawa through Kayangan Port towards Pototano. After that, you have to cross the land to the county of Sumbawa. Total, the journey time is about 6 hours. From Sumbawa, you proceed to Moyo Island using a fisherman boat available every day in the estuary. That was Indonesian Wonder Today, which took you to Mata Jitu Waterfall in Moyo Island, Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara Province. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih. Until next edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, here is Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the automatic garbage dumping tool made by some Indonesian students. So, stay tuned. Waste management is an issue that is quite complicated for Indonesian government. Public awareness to dispose the garbage in its proper place still needs to be increased. Some people, for instance, still throw garbage in the river or lake. The concern about the waste problem had encouraged the students of the Institute of Technology Surabaya, or ITS East Java, to create an automatic garbage dumping tool from such places. The tool is named Water Crop Remover, or WCR. Arsyad Bunyanudin, one of the students who created the WCR, said the tool is a solution to the problem of waste dumping, especially in the water. So there's no more garbage in the lake, ditch, river, or the ocean. Manufacturing of the automatic garbage dumping tool has brought the team to become the first winner in the Innovative Design Exhibition, or IDE, in 2015 for the category of Industrial Automation in ITS. Arshad said, the working of his tool is to detect garbage that falls under the surface of a pond with an infrared sensor. Subsequently, it is converted into signals to drive a sweeper. Arshad explained WCR is composed of three sweepers. The main sweeper is located in the center of which will be sweeping or directing trash into another sweeper in the corner of the tool, where the other one serves to drive the garbage to dumping the sweeper. This tool then will lift the garbage onto the surface of the water, then put it out automatically. The rubbish collected at the edge of the pool can be transported and disposed into a landfill. He said the working method of these tools is quite simple, so easy to be used by various groups. Although still need to be refined, the team have planned to patent the WCR before commercializing it. Well, listener, that was Miscellany today. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Bidan Chandra Sanyal in West Bengal, India. We have received his email dated December 26, 2015. Hello, Mr. Bidan Chandra Sanyal. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation to Voice of Indonesia Cruise. We also wish you Happy New Year. We hope this year you are always healthy and prosperous. Amen. Annually, Voice of Indonesia presents Kaleidoscope, which broadcasts collections of the events throughout the year, and this program is usually broadcast at the end of the year. So please tell us about your favorite program, and please send your reception report also, because through our listeners' reports, we can improve our radio program. Well, Mr. Bidan Chandra Sanyal, we are waiting for your next email with the reception report in detail. Thank you very much. And before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Jalan dengan mulus dan mengalir, banyak kisah, kisah kendaraan, perkembangan zaman, mulai dari sepeda hingga mobil mewah. Dan kini udara sejuk berkurang, oh kawan, menyesakan. Macet di mana-mana dan polusi udara, tak sadarkah langit ini sengsara? Yeah. Pakailah kendaraan sederhana, tak mewah tapi tahan lama. Berjalan seperti baduy tercinta, supaya sehat bertenaga. Dengan asap sederhana, bukan kemewahan. Cemari kotaku dengan asap perdamaian, tanpa kesombongan. Hembusan debu cukup terasa, udara panas makin menggila. Pohon di pinggir jalan tak ada, seperti tinggal di neraka dunia. Sederhana, bukan kemewahan. Cemari kotaku dengan asap perdamaian, tanpa kesombongan.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Muhammad Salim Akhtar Shadar and club members in Pakistan. Thank you for your email dated December 26, 2015. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Salim Akhtar Shadar hopes that we will be fine and enjoy the happiest moments of Christmas. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Salim Akhtar Shadar and club members. How are you? Of course, we are fine. And on Christmas, Voice of Indonesia also presented a special program related to Christmas. Did you listen to this program? What do you think about this program? Is it interesting or not? Yes, we need input or criticism from our listener, and we always keep trying to make our listeners satisfied with our programs. By the way, we also wish you Happy New Year. Your wish, New Year will bring peace, harmony, and prosperity in the world, also becomes our wish and everybody's wish in the world. Well, for you, Mr. Muhammad Salim Akhtar Shadar, and your club members who are tuning in our radio, we'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Rangkas Bitung, si Aceng, pemuda yang masih bingung, lulus sekolah masih nganggur, tegawe tekuliah kawas batur, wanci isuk masih di kasur, wanci berang, tepugung ngaluyur, peting nak, beki begadang, beki oge, nginum anggur, uye. Indung jeng bapa, ges tekawasa, berang peting ngado. Masa kudu loba usaha jeng doa mun hirup hayang bagja, mun hirup hayang bagja, mun hirup hayang bagja. Geragawe yo geranang tung ulah sarewae bisi bingung geragawe. Yo geranang tung gera bisa maraban
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and I will continue to reply an email from Francisco Chamarata Scalisi in Venezuela. Hello, Mr. Francisco. How are you? You sent your email on January the 2nd, 2016. You said that you always listen to our program in Spanish language. In his email, Mr. Francisco Chamarata Scalisi said that he likes our broadcast, which, according to him, very informative. Hello, Mr. Francisco Chamarata Scalisi. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast. And for your information, we also broadcast in other 7 languages in addition to Spanish. We have English, German, Japanese, Mandarin, Arabic, French, Spanish, as well as Bahasa Indonesia. Please tune in our frequency of 9525 kHz, or you can also visit our website if you want to listen to streaming at www.voi.co.id. We also have mobile applications, namely RRA Play and also RRA World Service. So, Mr. Francisco Chamarata Scalisi, we are waiting for your reports and also your criticism. And thank you very much for your email. And now let's listen to a beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Semangat, semangat, okay, okay.
Semangat semangat, oke oke. Semangat semangat, oke. Semangat semangat, oke oke. Semangat semangat, oke. Semangat semangat, oke oke. Semangat semangat, oke. Tunjukkan bahwa kamu bisa meraih impian, gapai harapan. Susah dahulu, sudah biasa. Yang penting jangan berputus asa. Itu luar biasa. Semangat semangat, oke oke. Semangat semangat, oke. 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 Banyak cerita di luar sana tentang orang yang berputus asa. Hidup jadikan beban tanpa ada pergerakan. Semakin dekat merdeka, karena tak mau berusaha, akhirnya pikiran kemana-mana.
Listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. And we also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ani Hasana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.